For those who are visiting, I am not the preacher here at Edge Hill. Our preacher is visiting his sweet little grandchildren down in South Carolina, and he'll be back next week. But a couple weeks ago, he asked me if I'd be willing to fill in for him, and I prayed about it and thought about it, and I said, yeah, I'll do it. I will do it. And it's a good thing I have this podium right here, because if I didn't, you would see my knees knocking together and me shaking like a leaf on a tree. But it's good to be here. Holiday season is among us. We had a good Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. It was full of family and good food. And you know, at those times, it can be painful for some families. For me right now in my life, it's not painful. I found contentment in that. Moments of contentment. But, you know, after you push away from the table and you are full and feel good and the children are playing nice, and, you know, the next day you're going to be hungry and the kids, they're going to be fighting. And so that type of commitment is just temporary. I want to talk about the contentment that Paul has talked about in the scripture reading in Philippians chapter 4. That we need so desperately in our walk with the Lord. As we travel through this life that we have, that He's given to us, that we need this contentment that the world does not have. Let me read that to you. James did a good job. I just want to refresh, and it's Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. It reads, Paul says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And I'll let you all know right now, as nervous as I am and scared as I am, right now I am content. And any time, and you know this, I'm preaching, as they say, to the choir, that we serve the Lord, we're content. So my question to you today is, as you sit here, how content are you? And to think about that as I go through this lesson, how content are you right now at the situation, at your point of your life, at what you're facing? Because we all have what you call a life. We all have problems. We're all facing problems. How content are we right now? That's what I want to look at. Because contentment can be very elusive. In fact, the world and so many Christians, they just can't find it. They're kept away by these lies and deception that Satan throws at all of us. We know where to find the truth, but it's difficult for some not to find it. And the lies and the deception increase our desires, the desires that keep us from being content. The desires like for more money, we can't get enough of it, the love of money. For prestige, the desire for free time, which we call nowadays as me time, which everyone thinks is so important. For some Christians, it might be discontent with the church that you're in. Maybe they're not serving you the way that you need to be served, and you've got a problem with that. Could be a desire for a new spouse. You might be unhappy with your spouse. You know, the divorce rate for Christians is just about the same as it is for non-Christians. Christians just aren't happy. They have not found that contentment. And you won't find contentment in these lives because you will never make enough money. If people lift you up, you know what we do in this world? When they lift you up, they just want to cut you back down. You know, there's one thing that hinders these desires, that saves us from these desires that we have. And as long as we're in this flesh, as long as we have this body, we are going to have desires, and we are going to have to fight these desires. These temptations, because Satan will never give up on us, not until we die and we go to heaven. And then we can rest. from the devil because he won't be there. But it's the truth. The truth is what we have. We have the truth to help us with these desires. And James, the book of James in chapter 4, he says it very clearly. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And as we look out into the world and we see what's going on in this country, to me, nobody's happy out there. Everybody is discontent. Everybody is mad. We desperately need contentment in this world. And again, I'm talking to y'all, and we are content. I know we're content because we came today and gave up our free time to worship Almighty God. And we need that. But as I say, we do struggle with these desires. We still have to fight back these desires. We have to, as Paul says, beat these bodies into submission and make it our slave and be in submission to God and do His will. And that's our fight, to fight our own desires and to do what God desires us to do. But if we talk about contentment, I don't want to confuse that and be complacent. You know, you don't necessarily have to stay where you're at. You know, God tells the slaves, if you're a slave, be content. But if you can be free, be free. We're not trapped. God has freed us. But even if we can't be free, we can still be content in whatever situation we're in. You know, He wants us to improve. He wants us to prepare to better ourselves because He has opportunities for us that we have to prepare for. Some of the times that we fail, it's still a blessing that we had the opportunity. We just didn't prepare for it. So yes, we have to be content, but we don't have to be complacent. Proverbs talks a lot about this. I'm going to read a couple of them off. I've got them written down here. This is Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 4. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Chapter 14, verse 23, and I can give this to you afterwards if you want them. All hard work brings profit. Chapter 21, verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. God knows we want things. And that's not necessarily wrong. He wants us to plan. He wants us to work for the things that we want. He wants us to ask Him for the things that we want. Go to Him. We have a relationship with God, and whatever we bring into that relationship is going to affect that relationship for the better or for the worse. This is our number one. He is our God, our number one priority in this life. And we need to make sure that what we bring into this relationship does not come between us and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's certain things, so there's ways that we can go about it, and we can go about it the wrong way. We can lose that contentment. And that's one of the reasons these lies and deceptions, that the world can't find this contentment. They'll never be happy. They will always be upset because there's only one thing that can bring contentment. And that's to love the Lord. But there's certain situations we need to listen to Him. We need to submit to Him. For instance, if we want to marry, we've got some people. They're not ready just yet. But one day, youngsters, you will find someone that you want to marry. And you are to do it God's way. You are to find somebody, a godly spouse, someone that you could be evenly yoked with. Because there's so many times that a Christian will marry someone that's a non-Christian that will pull them away, and you will be certainly discontent. What we do, we need to do it God's way. You want a different job? You want a different career? You want to change where you're at? That's fine. But are you going to pick a job that's going to pull you away from God? Are you going to make a major purchase? We talked about this in a morning class one Sunday. Are you going to make a major purchase? Are you going to buy that new car? Are you going to buy that bigger house? Where are you going to get that money from? Is it going to be from the money that you've been giving to God and now He is going to sacrifice for that? Is He going to pay for it from the money that you have already established to give to Him? Are you going to take from Him for your desires? Are you going to change churches? We need to make sure that God doesn't have work for you in the church that you're at. Are you content with the church that you're at? With your church family? Or do they have, are they preaching with the Spirit of truth? Or see, our will bring discontentment. God's will, we will be content. But this is a constant struggle that we go through in our lives. It's a constant battle. One day it will be over. I love singing songs about the future and about going to heaven. Paul talked about any and every circumstance. Any and every. All circumstances. It does not matter. He said any and every circumstance he had learned. We've been talking about things that you want. You know, things you want to do with your life. These are choices and freedom that God has given you. And living in this great country, we have a lot of freedom to do what we want to do. But sometimes we get things that we don't ask for. Sometimes we get things that we don't want. Circumstances beyond our control. In John chapter 16, verse 33... John chapter 16, verse 33. I know you know this scripture very well. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And that's the truth, isn't it? Because we're a church family. We know each other's struggles. We share. We lose our jobs. We become disabled. We suffer from chronic pain every day. Some of you have gone through some nasty church splits where a church will break apart. We got relationships. Spouse, children, mothers, fathers, mother-in-laws, father-in-laws. We've got our relationships that we have to contend with. You can fill in the blank. What troubles are you having right now? What is your circumstance? And are you content? Like I said before, as I see these faces here today, I know that you're content because you did choose to come here and worship Almighty God. Because you know that He is the answer. Excuse me. You know, we look at Paul, and Paul was an awesome man. He was. Because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And he showed us. He was one of the church fathers that started the church. But he didn't learn this overnight. You see, this life that we're in, this is the school. And Jesus is our teacher. We've got the best teacher. See, we believe in this John chapter 16, verse 33. Excuse me. We believe when Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. We believe that that's our only peace. That's our contentment. And we believe that He has overcome the world. We have that faith in Jesus. You know, sometimes it's kind of strange, but when we look at other people's circumstances that are worse than ours, it kind of makes us feel better about our circumstances sometimes. Somebody's always got it worse. Somebody's always got it better. I guess that's half empty, half full kind of way of looking at it, but somebody's always got it worse. So I'd like to look at Paul and his circumstances, what he went through. Well, you know, when it's that's quite a bold statement to say that he's learned to be content in all circumstances. That is a bold statement. But if he makes it from the circumstances that he had to go through, that just shows the power of God. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he tells most of what he's been through. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 23, he says, I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea. And in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. What a life. And this is after Damascus. This is after he gave his life to Christ. But through it all, he never lost his contentment. But we know it was a struggle for him because Paul's a man. He struggled. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was led out into the wilderness, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Has anyone fasted 40 days and 40 nights? You have got to be miserable. And then after that, Satan is messing with him and tempting him. He felt all of this. He felt the discomfort. Paul had to feel the discomfort. But they were content. They submitted to God and they were content. You hear about the thorn that Paul talks about. 3 times he asked the Lord to take it away. 3 times. How bad did that thorn hurt? He got told no 3 times. And then Jesus cried out for the Lord to take away the cup 3 times. And God said, no, you can deal with it. My strength is sufficient. You can deal with it. You know, as we look at Paul, and he's one of our heroes in the Bible, along with a lot of other men, that we see the strength of God in. But when I look at y'all, I know you. We've prayed together. We have leaned on one another, told each other our struggles. A lot of you know my struggles, and I know your struggles, and we've prayed together. We've prayed for each other. We've cried. We've laughed. I see a bunch of Pauls. But I don't see a bunch of Pauls. What I see is Jesus Christ in every single one of you. And I thank God for you. That I'm allowed to be amongst you in your struggles and see the strength of Jesus Christ in each one of you. And what a blessing that is. When I come to church, I'm content. But here's a little test. Not every time do I come to church do I feel content. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed with my circumstances to where when I come to worship Almighty God and I should be able to stand in His presence and be in awe of Him, my circumstances, I am fighting so hard. And I know this is true for y'all too. To not let that interrupt my love for the Lord. To not let my circumstances take over. To be content into whatever I'm suffering, to be content. And Satan will not win because his grace is sufficient for me. Right now you're looking at one of the weakest men in the world. And this is an answer to prayer because again, I say, if you want to get that contentment, you serve the Lord. You ask Him, please, Lord, allow me to serve You. And this is not an answer to prayer to get up here, but just to serve Him. I want to serve You, Lord. I don't want my circumstances to make me null and void, to be useless. Please give me the strength to carry on so that I can serve You. And that is a fight they were all fighting. So, I don't know how long that was, but we're good. Are you struggling with your contentment? Are you content knowing that you are in the arms of Jesus Christ and He's protecting you from anything that will ever happen to you? He has that power. And He is in control. Almighty God is in control. And He loves us. And we believe this. But if you're struggling right now, if you need help, if you need prayers, we're going to sing a song. If you don't have that contentment and you want it, and you're not a Christian, we can take care of that too. You can come forward. And you can become a child of God. This morning, right now, and you'll be taken care of for eternity by a Father that is above all fathers, Almighty God. Thank you.